Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, eBizQ listeners. This is Jessica Ann Mola, managing editor at eBizQ. Today I'm doing a podcast with two people from Pegasystems. I have Russell Keyser, who is senior director for corporate marketing, and I have Steven Zisk on the line, who is the senior BPM product marketing manager. Russell and Steven, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, can one of you please tell me what's new with Pegasystems? I know you guys just recently had a new announcement.
Yes, we just announced our Smart BPM 6 product, which will be shown at PegaWorld in Philadelphia on April the 25th, our annual user conference. And we also announced a pending acquisition of a company called Cordiant, based in Cupertino, California.
Excellent. So I'll go right into the first question now. First question is the market for BPM growing or shrinking after the recent acquisition of several pure plays?
Well, Jessica, it's growing. It's still growing, in fact, much faster than other software sectors. The forecast is for almost $3 billion by 2013 for BPM suites, according to DataQuest. And if you look at some other forecasts, DataQuest is being a little on the conservative side there. Now, as a leader, we've experienced more than 50% growth year over year, including over 10 quarters of record-breaking growth in license revenue, and we would provide that as an indicator of what the leaders in the BPMS market are doing. Acquisitions by IBM, Oracle, Progress, and Software AG in the recent past all show that BPM is becoming more mainstream as these companies seek to have good representations in the human-centric area of business process management.
Okay, and second question, how does BPM fit into massive changes such as healthcare reform and potential new financial regulations for banks and investment services?
Well, Jessica, this is Russell. I think that it fits extremely well if you have a build-for-change approach to BPM, such as we do at Pega. We've helped government agencies deal with changes such as Medicare Part D, not too dissimilar from the recent healthcare insurance reform requiring the massive enrollment of millions and millions of new members and dealing with process changes and questions that they may have, as well as other wholesale industry changes such as Sarbanes-Oxley that have been introduced. We anticipate for our strong sector and financial services being able to help those banking customers deal with pending regulatory reforms. You know, with the healthcare changes, you're going to see healthcare payers move from a B2B concept to business to consumer overnight because they're going to have to enroll individual members. And that's something that we've had a lot of experience at. So the other thing I'd point out is unless your BPM can offer enterprise scale case management and customer interaction management, or CRM, as well as federation of multiple different BPM deployments, it's really hard to meet these massive changes that are affecting our industries.
And just to follow up with that, Russell, this is Steve again. On that point, not only is it important that you have scalability, but it's important that the environment be suitable for the business people. BPM needs to offer a pure, thin client to survive. People are not prepared to install massive amounts of software or learn new environments like IDEs in order to be able to transform their business. And in order to have a real cloud offering and not just a sandbox or a toy, BPM needs to be based on thin client web interfaces.
So in your opinion, what are the new challenges for BPM suite technology?
Well, there's several challenges. The first of those is collaboration. BPM should be about making sure that your business is up to snuff on the kinds of changes that are being driven by economic factors, competitive factors, and regulatory factors, as we've been discussing in some of the earlier questions. And in order to do that, you have to be able to engage your business, your IT, your business thought leaders, operations, and so forth, and they have to be able to be engaged through the process of defining and extending the BPM suite itself to act as a solution for specific problems. And that requires collaboration. It also requires that the BPMS take on a much larger set of capabilities. It's no longer enough to simply have the BPM manage a workflow or process. You also need to have BPM suites handle user interface, handle all of the decision rules, optimization and simulation. And if you're really going to make the BPMS advance the state of the business, not just the state of the IT and solution capabilities, you have to be able to discover and harvest processes collaboratively and manage the simulation and optimization behaviors in such a way that you're really looking at the value of the individual processes. And that leads us into the need for also addressing predictive and adaptive analytics so that you can see ahead. You want to get away from just having a rear view mirror to look at what's been going on in the past, but be able to understand what your customers need and what direction they're going in so that you can match that with your offers, capabilities, customer service, and so on.
And Steve, I would add to that, we need to radically simplify this whole approach for the business user so that they can see how their business is performing, because we're not doing this just to basically streamline processes. We're doing this to have an impact on business performance. So we need the visibility, the transparency, and the management tools so that business people feel like they're executing their great ideas for how to change the business and improve the business right into operations.
Excellent. Now, here's an interesting question. Are BPM solutions band-aids or replacements for enterprise packaged applications?
Well, many people see BPM as a departmental band-aid, and you certainly see implementations that go in that direction, but we believe that's wrong. It should not be a patch or a one-time fix. In fact, if you focus on departmental fixes, you tend to force yourself into suboptimal behavior. It's sort of the pushing the balloon situation where you solve your local department's problem but cause a problem for some other part of the enterprise. So we think that you have to take a much broader transformational approach to solving problems.
I think, Steve, what you can also look at is an approach of wrapping and renewing, layering smart BPM into an enterprise stack and taking those apps and adding the burning platform issues that the business is driving, repairing them and bringing that new capability to the business users and to the customers much more quickly, and slowly over time moving core competencies into the BPM layer. I must say that some of our customers have taken a start small and grow, and others are actually embarking on parallel and successive waves of transformation using the BPM technology to achieve that. So I think that enterprise apps still have a long life, but more and more and more we're finding that new projects that focus on product innovation and customer retention and basically differentiating your offer into the marketplace are things that they're looking to smart BPM for.
Very interesting. Now, we mentioned customer relationship management earlier in the podcast, and my question for you is, can you reconcile CRM and BPM?
That's a very long and sort of philosophical answers that you might get from different kinds of people depending on where they come from. But in truth, business process management was created to replace a lot of packaged capabilities, including CRM, helping CRM to move from a very static and monolithic data-centric view of the customer to a dynamic and process-centric view that's much more in keeping with our customer needs today. People don't want to be stuck with having to figure out what the best offer is or what the best ideas are. They want the ability to have coaching, predictive analytics, tailored offerings, and all of the other things that a dynamic and decision-driven solution offers as compared with many of the static, pure telephony offerings.
And I would also add, Steve, that a majority of our customers are focusing on issues around customer retention, how to roll out new products to a new market, how to improve loyalty and customer experience. And really, the BPM CRM question, they are two sides of the same coin. And we think that if you're serious about business process, you need to, by extension, logically, be serious about extending that process right out into the customer interaction layer. How you interact with your customers, how you treat them, how you serve them, and how you learn from your customers about how you should inform and improve your offering. And we think that some of the comments about, well, CRM is different from BPM are really coming from a perspective that is rooted in the old and legacy mind frame that, frankly, isn't serving either organizations or their customers.
All right. Some very interesting thoughts. Russell and Steve, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast.
Our pleasure.
Thank you very much.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.